Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you were addressing the fans, you were a little fired up there, had a little football coach in you. Do nights like this get you?
It does. It's exciting to me. It really is. I mean, just again, I really do appreciate the fans that came out tonight and really appreciate their support and bringing the electricity. There's something exciting about being in your home stadium. And I really just, I enjoy it.
Head coach Ron Rivera, welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. He was discussing Saturday's practice at FedEx Field in front of thousands of fans who came out to check out the team for the first time this summer. I mean, they have had select groups of people that have gone out to Ashburn. It's gotten harder to get out there now to watch practice as a fan than it used to be. But this was the first big chance for fans for free to go to the stadium and to watch. And Saturday, a lot of autographs, a lot of pictures. I saw a lot of young fans spending time with players, which I really, really liked. Pete Haley, NBCSportsWashington.com, joins us now. Pete, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Afternoon, Grant. And I don't know if your back-scratching situation was solved, but in case you still need a back-scratch, I'm only about 10 minutes away. I can come on down and help you out at the end of the show.
I had to do a polar bear bit. I had to rub my back against like the inside of a door, like I'm some kind
that's
of
like
animal in a cave.
Book. Yeah, that's really crappy. I'm sorry your coworkers don't love you and care about you enough as they should. That's really disappointing to see. But you find out who your friends are when your back is a little itchy.
This is true. And maybe I'm weird. It's very possible. In fact, I probably am. But maybe this is more confirmation of that. But there's not a person that I work with at this facility in any department that if they said to me, hey, would you mind scratching my back real quick, I wouldn't just offer them these here fingers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the phrase literally is, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And I know it's mostly used for metaphorical reasons or other situations, but you could have said, hey, Ryan, if you have an itchy back, I'll itch yours at some point. And when they have itches in the future, you just turn them down. It's no problem.
Both Ryan and Darius looked at each other like, who's going to have to do this? They both giggled like they're, you know, school children, and then they just proceeded to tell me they couldn't do it. So, yeah. So I just did a polar bear bit and just dragged my back along the wall, cut it open. I hope they're okay with it. All right, so to Saturday night. I didn't care much about turnout. I know a lot of people talked about that. I'm curious, like, how many people do you think were there? Were the folks that were there energized? What was your take on that?
I think it was a very successful outing for the team as they tried to build up this fan base again and get them used to the new branding. I saw plenty of people in Commanders jerseys already and lots more in the various team stores. I did a lap around FedEx Field before going up into the press box. There's tons of new signage everywhere. So it felt like, okay, this transition from football team to Commanders is well underway, if not nearly complete. And in terms of numbers, I've never been good at predicting or projecting or saying how many people are there without an exact count, but it was upwards of 5,000 to 6,000. I think the lower bowl was nicely covered to a good extent. And then the middle bowl behind the Commander's bench normally had some big sections filled up too. So overall, I thought it was a really nice job by the team, and there's lots of cool activities for younger kids to do. There's face painting and a dog adoption drive. So for a Saturday in August, I thought this was a nice victory for those who put it on.
I saw a bunch of folks talking about how long Chase Young was signing autographs. It sounds like maybe he stayed out on the field and just kind of went the length of the sideline, basically.
Yes. Yeah, Chase, we talked to Ron, we talked to Terry, and we talked to Carson after the practice. Each presser probably took about 8 to 10 minutes, and then Mitch Tischler and I sat down to record our podcast, and I opened up Twitter, and apparently Chase was still out there signing autographs. So that was at least 40, 45 minutes afterward, and he's been that way at camp too. And I've been really pleasantly surprised by that. It would be easy for him, as someone who's rehabbing and maybe didn't have a very good season last year, to just be escorted upstairs by PR, both at the stadium and at the facility every day. But he has lingered and taken plenty of pictures, signed plenty of football, same with Terry, same with Carson, same with all the in-demand players. And it was nice to see. So I think Chase is still embracing the fan love, and I hope that when he gets on the field, whenever that is, he can then justify all that fan love with a nice bounce back year.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, and that stuff matters to me. I mean, it's not going to help you get sacks, right? But your job is not just what you do on the field. There are other obligations, and right now, there's only so much you can do. I mean, you can't go out and get sacks when you're rehabbing, and you might miss a few games, so you might as well help what is another project here, which is, as you said, to kind of rebuild this fan base and to build up this new brand. So that's cool that he's taking that personally, and he's one of the most important players in the locker room, obviously. Pete Haley, NBCSportsWashington.com. All right, so let's talk Carson Wentz. I started the show today on Wentz because I keep hearing more and more from you guys that are out there about how uneasy he's looked, and now we've got Ron Rivera being asked about his accuracy and what he's missing. It just doesn't sound good from afar.
It doesn't sound good from afar, and it doesn't look very good up close either. And I'm trying to balance the, like, we're still 5 weeks away from the season. People are just starving for updates about this team. Let's not feed the beast too much and let everybody get completely crazy and run into the streets with no clothes on because they just don't know how to react. However, it's a little bit worse than I expected. I mean, Carson coming here is a 63% completion percentage passer and a guy who's been let go by his two previous teams. You're not expecting him to look like Patrick Mahomes and dot this defense up and go 9 of 10 every time he's in the lineup, right? Like, you knew there are going to be flaws or else he wouldn't be here in the first place. But the flaws are a little uglier so far than I expect them to be.
Let me jump in real quick, Pete. When you say that, I'm just curious, like, to maybe qualify that better. Like, is when he's throwing against air, is he have bad ball placement? Is this 11 on 11 where he's, like, missing open guys? What are the issues that you're seeing, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's everything, and it's in the on-air drills that are beginning of practice where typically it's like, all right, the guys run a quick comeback, then they run a 5 yard out, then they run a slant, and then they work the intermediate stuff. So they run a 12 yard out and a 12 yard in, and then they do some posts and stuff. And there, Carson is not nearly as efficient as he should be. Like, Heineke and Howell, for the most part, the ball is where the receivers need it. Maybe it's a little outstretched, maybe they have to reach a little bit behind, but they're mostly catching the ball. And if there's not a catch, it's the receiver's fault. With Carson, it's not a coin flip, but there are times where it's like you have no idea whether this ball is going to land in Cam Sims's breadbasket, go way over Cam Sims's hands, or hit Cam Sims in the shoelaces. And it continues into the team stuff. So for me, we were talking about this on the podcast today. For us, like, I don't know if I'm as worried about the on-air stuff, even though that sounds weird. Like, if you can't complete a pass on air, I get it. Then how the hell are you going to do it against the defense on Sunday? But, like, it's almost just like maybe that's just not his forum. Like, it's so unsettling to watch him that I just have to be like, okay, this just doesn't work for him. He's not a warm-ups player. Hopefully it's better when the games start, but then the 11-on-11s happen and it's not really clicking that much either. Now, on Saturday night, there were some highlights. He had an unbelievably awesome deep shot to Mark and Michelle. He found McLaurin on a pretty back shoulder that the team has put up on Instagram and Twitter. You can go find it. So those were finally some of the good mixed in with the bad. But yeah, Grant, I have deducted one win from my projected win total this year, going from 10 to 9, because the Carson Wentz bad has far outweighed the good thus far, and I'm a little bit rattled about it.
Is Mark and Michelle related to Marco Mitchell? And regardless of the answer, is Chris Russell in love with Mark and Michelle yet?
Mark and Michelle is related to Sony Michelle. I don't think he has any relation to Marco Mitchell.
Okay.
But Chris Russell is in love with him more so than like a traffic-free commute home, and it's getting awkward for the rest of us on the beat.
Understood. He's Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, and you should read all of his work at NBCSportsWashington.com. So then back to Wentz for a second. So, yeah, because my original thought when I've seen a lot of this, Pete, is it's not to act like I have low expectations, but I do think accuracy for him is problematic, or is it just never going to be a strength? So I kind of stop short of being concerned, but it sounds like you're not someone who was expecting like all-world accuracy, and even based on the standards of you baking that into your eval, you've been a little bit taken aback.
Yeah, again, it's just worse than I thought, and I was very aware of what all the Eagles reporters, I mean, everybody's had an Eagles reporter on their show or podcast. Everybody's had a Colts reporter on their show or podcast. So you're prepared for this to be a bumpy road, but the bumps are a little bit higher and they're a little bit more frequent than I would have liked them to be. And look, he didn't have Terry for OTAs and minicamp. Those two both have spoken on how they need to get their reps down. They might try to do some things during practice, during some dead periods to continue to hone their relationship. I'd imagine it's hard to get on the same page with Curtis Samuel when you don't know if he's going to be wearing a helmet from one day to the next. So the one guy he does seem to really be in lockstep with is Jahan Dotson, who he loved during May and June activities and has certainly brought that into July and August. And when he's throwing with Dotson, that's when it's the smoothest. That's when the timing is the best. That's when the ball is there. As soon as he turns around and gives him plenty enough room to turn up field. So they're like, if he gets to that level with the other guys, then you can see that there's a blueprint for a successful quarterback receiver relationship. But the majority of guys, it still is just rusty, and there's just some really ugly misses. And what worries me is, like, again, the on-air stuff doesn't affect the on-field, you know, results come week one. But if you're a receiver turning around enough and you don't know where the ball is coming, that's got to just be discouraging. You're like, I'm doing this against nobody and you're not hitting me. How am I going to trust you to then do this against the Jaguars? So I just hope that there isn't too much doubt already seeping into this unit's head, because some of these reps, Grant, are so disappointing that it's just like, how do they then line up and do another one in 5 seconds without like everybody just processing the ugliness that just occurred?
How about the other QBs? I mean, is he still, this all being said, like decidedly the best of the three? Because he obviously spins the ball probably better, certainly than Heinicke, can throw the deep ball better. I mean, if you were to just meritocracy style, there was no starter, there was no backup, there's no number three, you don't care who got drafted or paid what, is he the best of the three day in and day out, obviously?
Yeah, I'd still say he is the best of the three, and maybe it's just because he's bigger and can throw it harder. I think, you know, Sam Howell is definitely pleasantly surprised me. He's coming along decently, and what's important for him is he started off pretty poorly as a fifth round rookie normally would, but I think he's putting good practices on top of each other, and he's makes a mistake one day and then the next day, okay, that throw is now where it should be. He seems a little more confident with each day. And Taylor Heinicke, look, I mean, we know the limitations, but for some reason, and I know the reasons, he competes his ass off and he's fun to be around and he does what he can to make anything happen. These guys love playing with him, and you see that in camp, but that when he needs to go deep, he just can't do it. So Wentz is definitely still the best. I still think Ron should give Wentz an incredibly long leash, because this is the only guy who could really hopefully possibly elevate the team. The other two are going to either just keep it afloat or be something of a long-term project. So Wentz needs to be the starter. He needs to be the starter for a long time. You give him every chance to hit the ground running, and if it doesn't start at the beginning, to hit the ground running in October. But he is not so much better that it's like, okay, phew, this is exactly it. Like, it's just been closer all throughout than he'd like it to be.
I saw that you asked Rivera about the plan for Curtis Samuel over the weekend again, and I think even today maybe. Last year, they needed him. It was not a want, it was a need. They lacked weaponry at wide receiver. With Jahan Dotson, who can play inside, which I think is where he's going to end up making most of his plays in the slot, or outside, I mean, they don't necessarily have to have Samuel the same way they did last year, but man, would it be nice to get him back into the fold. Do you think he's going to play in week one? Do you think he'll be healthy based on this plan they've got him on for the rest of the season beyond that? And then just give me a take on the receiver room.
I do think he'll be there for week one, number one, because they're building up for it like it's the premiere of like a blockbuster movie, and it would be really awful of them to do that and then not have it work out. Like, they're going to be careful. They're going to lay their reputations on the line. He will be there week one, because like it feels like when they need to, like on Saturday night at FedEx Field, that was an important night just to show fans that he was alive and could run routes. they did it. So I think he can play when they need him to once or twice, but we have still yet to see three practices in a row. Ron said they're going to chill him out tomorrow, so that's going to end the chance of it being three straight. So week one, yes. Week two through 18, I honestly have no idea because we haven't even seen him get tackled yet, and it's been a struggle for him to consistently stay in the lineup. For the room as a whole, I would still argue they need him because, yes, Dotson looks like a consummate professional, and he is Wentz's favorite receiver at this point in terms of at least comfortability. But, like, I haven't seen a ton from De'Ami Brown to think that he's going to break out in year two. I like Cam Sims, but I know what his limitations are, and I don't think he could be anything more than a two or three catch a guy, a game guy. So Samuel has to be there because he can take the 5 yard out and turn it up for 30 yards. Like, he's made a couple cuts that are really impressive. So while it may not be because, you know, they're missing the top end guys, by having Dotson, you have another reliable target. The guys below Samuel, I still feel, are not ready for the NFL. And if you're missing Logan Thomas to start too, then you're running out of reliable pass catchers, I think.
All right, last one for you here. I want to swing over to the defensive side. It seemed like for months Rivera said that they were going to sign a linebacker. And he just made it very clear this is not the group we're going into the season with. And yay, they did. 27-year-old veteran Nate Jerry, who's played a bunch of special teams and a little bit for the Eagles on defense. Is this the one he was talking about? Is this my linebacker? Is this it?
Yeah. Congratulations, everybody. Apparently today I heard from another reporter who was watching, Nate Jerry ran off the field and somebody yelled, "Cole Holcomb, I love you. Can you sign my helmet?" And Nate Jerry was like, "Sorry, wrong white dude." So the fans may not be embracing him as much as maybe you and I are. But look, this does really nothing for me. They like him because he can be a coverage guy. They feel like they have enough stoutness with Cole Holcomb and David Mayo. I would probably disagree, but that's what Ron said. They want some more people who can help in space and on special teams. So I would think he probably has a good chance of making this team, along with like a Khalik Hudson. Those guys can be your fourth and fifth linebacker, but it in no way changes my opinion of that group because Jamin Davis is the one real swing guy who can make this a better collection of players. But I haven't liked what I've seen out of Jamin Davis. So Nate Jerry, if he plays six snaps a game on defense and helps out on special teams, great. But it's not going to be enough to dramatically impact this defense. So I just don't know how they can get any better, unfortunately. They put themselves in a spot where Nate Jerry represents their best possible addition. So buckle up for the linebackers. You need to hope that Fedarian Mathis is a really powerful run stopper and that guys like Percy Butler and Derek Forrest can play that Landon Collins type role and help out as quasi linebackers instead of the traditional linebackers having a traditional influence on the season.
Yeah, at front, the D-line, and then on the back end, the secondary becomes that much more important, which I want to get into here in a bit. Hey, Pete, great information. Really appreciate the latest from camp. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
NBCSportsWashington.com. Go read his work. Check out all of his insight from practices. I want to talk about the addition of Nate Jerry and also the linebacking group now led by Holcomb and Jamin Davis. And is there a chance maybe that collection of guys in the middle gets bailed out by the secondary improving by a bunch? And we'll tackle that next on Grant and Danny before the end of the hour. We will spin the NFL wheel and break down a random team's burning question right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.